Please take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, if you're going to use a pew Bible this morning, Matthew chapter 11 is going to be on page 816 of our pew Bible. I've got to be honest with you, the passage we're going to look at this morning is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. And it talks about how you and I need to come to Jesus, how everyone really needs to come to Him. And I want you to think this morning about some of the difficulties, maybe difficulties that you're experiencing, maybe difficulties that someone else is experiencing. But one thing that you and I can know for sure, that all of us are going to have periods, all of us are going to have times where we experience difficulties. Think about this statistic for just a little bit. If you have 1,000 children, just imagine that. Imagine 20 of those dying suddenly from some sort of accident or difficulty. In some places in the country, that's exactly what happens. It can be an accident, it can be a homicide, it can be a suicide. But when you think of that, that translates into lots of parents, lots of siblings, lots of folks that are experiencing a lot of pain, a lot of anguish, and a lot of difficulty. Think about what happens in many families in our country. Do you realize that anywhere from 40 to 50%, depending upon the year, depending upon the place within the United States, but 40 to 50% of all first marriages end in divorce? And then if you go forth and you quantify that, that's 21.6 million people that are impacted every year. So if you look around, you begin to realize there's a lot of difficulty. People have experienced pain because they've lost someone that they love. People have experienced pain because someone may have abandoned them or left them or some sort of relationship issue. And then there's other things that almost hit us on a daily basis. Do you remember? And it's almost like it's fog. It's off in the back. But that fellow that shot those folks in Orlando a couple of days ago, his aunt said his mind was not right. He just wasn't right. But he goes in and he harms these people. I say Orlando. It was actually Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport. But here's a fellow that had all kinds of problems, and those problems spilled in and became other people's problems because they had not been dealt with. There are people all over this country and all over this world and perhaps all throughout this room this morning that are hurting. And so the Lord says to us, this is what I call you to do. I call you to come to Jesus when you find yourself hurting and when you find yourself in pain. Let's look in Matthew chapter 11 and let's scroll down to verse 25 and see what the Lord says here about what we need to do with our own pains and how we help others. At that time, verse 25 says, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is what the Bible says. This is what Jesus says you're to do when you find yourself in pain, when you find yourself and others going through great difficulties. And so look back there at verse 25 for a minute. And notice it says, at that time. So what does he mean by this? Well, John the Baptist, if you read the first part of this chapter, had asked Jesus a question. Other people had been somewhat confused by that. And Jesus then went forward and said, look, a lot of people in a lot of cities around here are going to have a lot to be accountable for one day because they've seen the Christ, they've seen the Messiah, and they've not responded to him. And so after those things, the scripture says, Jesus says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things, talking about the truth, talking about the gospel, what is right, what is wrong. You have hidden these things, Jesus said, from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. So what did Jesus mean by that? where he's talking about how it is that one must come to Christ, how it is that you and I come to Jesus. And so as you look at that passage, he's saying, you come like a little child. You look over in the book of, or you look over a little bit further, and Jesus is going to say pretty plainly, come as a child. If you're going to come to Jesus, if you want Jesus to help you, you've got to come to him like a little child. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean come to him like a baby? Does that mean come to him like an elementary age child? What does it mean when he says that you come as a child? Well, in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus says, and calling to him a child. So he took a little child, probably a young child, preschool, elementary age, and this child is standing here. And Jesus, and it says, Jesus put him right in the middle of them. And then he says, truly I say to you, or this is the truth, guys, you've got to really pay attention to this. He says, you've got to become like a child. And so here this child is standing there, and he's like, you've got to become like this person. You've got to become like children, or you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So if you're going to find me, if you're going to come to know me, you've got to be like a child. He says, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, what is a child like? We just finished with Christmas, right? And you can tell them things about Christmas, and what do children do? Their eyes get really big, and they get really excited, and they listen, and they almost hang on your every word. You may have given a present to a child, and they looked at it. They were the novelty of it. We're talking about children aren't spoiled, right? You know, but they were excited about it, and it really got their attention. And so what Jesus is saying is, if you're going to come to me, you can't be a know-it-all. You can't be a curmudgeon. You can't be someone that is looking at everything and you're like, oh, well, that's not right or that's not that way. You've got to humble yourself and you've got to recognize, I need Jesus. I need help. And then you've got to come to him. A lot of folks don't need help. Have you noticed that? A lot of people will come to you and you'll try to help them out and say, I don't need any help. I got this together. They don't seem to have it together, but they'll say, I've got it together. And Jesus says, number one, you've got to be willing to humble yourself. But number two, you've got to be willing to say, I need some help. Jesus, the scripture says, those who are well have no need of a physician. If you're not sick, you don't need a doctor. But if you are in pain, if you're in difficulty, you recognize, I'm sick, I need a Savior, I need someone to help me. So this morning I ask you to look at your own life. Are you one that walks around and says, I got it all together, I don't need help, I don't have any problems, even though you may find yourself in all kind of turmoil and all kinds of difficulty? Well, the scripture says we can't get the help we need if we will not humble ourselves, ask Jesus to help us, and recognize, Lord, we fall short, we need some help. Anyone ever heard of the book, I'm Okay, You're Okay? It's an old book. It's written, well, actually back in the 1960s. But the attitude kind of permeates our culture today. Nothing wrong with me, nothing wrong with you. And actually, there's a little chart over here to the side. There's a lot of people that are like, well, there's nothing wrong with me, but there's a lot wrong with you, you know. And so the point is that we have a culture that has kind of grown up in this idea, well, you know, I'm okay, this is the way I see it, this is the way I want to do it. No real issues here. And so this culture kind of goes along, and it's actually led to some of the difficulties we have here. I've got news for you. I'm not okay, and you're not okay. None of us are okay. We all fall short. We all need Christ in our lives. And so Jesus says the first thing you've got to do, if you're going to get help from me, you've got to realize, hey, I need help, and to come and to ask Jesus to come into our lives. Jesus also said, look, if you're thirsty, let him come to me and drink. So you've got to realize there's an itch, there's a thirst, there's a hunger, there's something that I need, and so I humble myself and I go and I seek this help from Jesus. Go back and look at verse 25 again. Look at that last part there. And he says, and understanding and revealed them to little children. So you've taken this truth, and you have helped little children or people that would humble themselves and that would recognize a need. You have revealed them to little children. He says, yes, Father, for such is your gracious will. Notice the word revealed. So God will show himself to you if you will seek him out. But the key thing is we've got to come as a child to the Lord Jesus, and then we've got to look and we've got to see. We've got to be trying to find him and trying to see what he's like and trying to come to know him. Look at verse 27. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So he's talking about the Trinity here. He's talking about how we've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he's telling us there, if you've seen Jesus, then you've seen the Father. If you had seen the Father, you would have seen Jesus. And he's telling us about this wonderful God that we have. But notice that last part. Whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Once you come to the Lord begins to reveal himself to you. Now, I'm not saying, and Jesus wasn't saying, that you would look and you would see God physically. But you will begin to understand things, and you will begin to see things in a different light, so to speak. There's a passage over in the book of Jeremiah. And it may be a passage that Jesus is even thinking of as he says these words. But it says, "Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it." Now, the Lord's probably referring to this passage when he says, come unto me and I'll give you rest. But this passage is saying, basically, you find the ancient road. And what is the ancient road? It's the way that Abraham, it's the way that Isaac, it's the way that Jacob and Moses and others before us, is the path they went down as they walked forth and they followed the Lord. And so he says, you look and you ask for that path where the good way is, and he says, you walk in it. So as you come to Jesus, you begin to follow Jesus, you begin to see him and to learn more about him, and as you go along that path in life, you begin to understand him more, he begins to work in you more, he begins to change you more into what he is like. And so notice the passage is saying, there are some that say, we will not walk in it. There are some that will say, I'm not going to go that route. I am not going to do that thing. I'm going to do my own way. And what they've said is, I'm not going to come to Jesus. I'm not going to follow him. I am not going to serve him. I'm going to go my own way. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, it is God who works in you. So when you say, Lord, I need some help with whatever it is. Lord, I want to follow you. And you come to him and you begin to look into his word and you try to do what the word says. As you do that, the word is working in you. And so then you're not as ugly as you used to be toward your siblings or toward your spouse or toward your coworkers. You begin to change. You begin to be a different kind of person because it is God that's working in you and he's changing you into what he would have you to do, what is his good pleasure. So notice again, Jesus says, look, if you come, he says, you've got to come basically as a child. Last part of verse 27, and he will choose to reveal him. So God begins to show you, not in a physical way, but you begin to get it. Okay, this is it. This is what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. This is what it means to forgive other people. This is what that means. He begins to reveal himself. But notice he says in verse 28, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden. So he says, all right. If you find yourself heavy laden, you find yourself with a great burden, he's saying, then you come to me and I will help you. What does it mean? What does it mean to be heavy laden? There's a photographer that went to an elementary school one day and, you know, they're taking the pictures for the yearbook or whatever. And you know how these photographers are. They try to get along and have some rapport with the kids and so forth. And so this photographer would ask kids, well, what are you going to be when you grow up? And some people would say, well, I'm going to be a firefighter. I'm going to be a police officer. Or I'm going to be a teacher or whatever. And this one girl looks at the photographer and says, I'm going to be tired. I'm going to be tired. And the photographer realized that kid has heard all the adults in her life saying things like, oh, I'm so tired, I'm so tired. So what are you going to be when you grow up? There won't be any more play period. There won't be play dates. It's going to be a time where it's going to be hard, it's going to be difficult, and you're going to be tired all the time. And is that not the way we feel? Do we feel sometimes like we're running here and we're running there and we're just burdened down? So what does it mean by heavy laden? It's anything that burdens you. It's anything that weighs you down. It's anything that makes it difficult to go through your life. And so it can be a financial situation. It can be student loans. It can be a heavy mortgage. It can be anything of that nature. It can be a work situation or school situation. Bullies at school, bullies at work, or am I going to be able to pass my algebra class? You know, it can be any number of things. It can be something of a physical nature. You know, do I have cancer? Or am I going to be able to beat this particular disease? It can also be something with a friend. It can be something with a family member or someone else. It can be a lot of things. I encourage you to read through the gospel, all the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I encourage you to read through those and notice the people that came and to play with Jesus. And I want you to think about, if you'll read through those gospels, what kind of burdens they bring. You read through the Bible and you find there's people that came to Jesus that had leprosy. There were people that came to him that couldn't see. There were people that Jesus saw that couldn't walk. And remember, as you look through and you read the scriptures, well, he would heal lepers. He would make the blind where they could see. He would take the people that couldn't walk and heal them where they could walk. And in those days, you couldn't make a living. You had financial difficulties if you had these kinds of problems. The people that came into Jesus' realm who were heavy laden were people that left with a burden lifted upon them. All kinds of people that the Lord healed. He even healed, in some cases, people that were dead. He raised some people from the dead. And so the Lord Jesus ran into people that had all kinds of burdens. They were truly heavy laden. But God took care of those situations. God helped them. You ever notice, though, how many times there's a storm in the scripture and Jesus comes along and you'll read about Jesus calming a storm and walking upon water and these kinds of things. And so as you think about that, have you ever wondered if the Lord's saying to us, hey, I help people as they go through the storms of life? It's not just, you know, the storm that these people went through. I help people as they go through storms. You ever thought about the people that Jesus called to follow him? Matthew, you think about him, he was a tax collector. You think about Zacchaeus, the Lord called him. People that were in dead-end jobs, people that were thought of as kind of losers in life, but many of them follow Jesus. And so he comes to Zacchaeus and says, I'm going to your house today. He comes to this Samaritan woman who was entangled in all kinds of difficult relationships, and he reaches out to her. They bring this woman to him, you remember, who had been caught in adultery, and he helps her who is heavy laden. So you think about, as you read the scripture, and you see, well, the Lord was with a lot of people who had a lot of difficulties, and he took care of those difficulties. He helped them with those. But the first thing they had to do was they had to come to him, and what did Jesus do to them? He gave them rest. Now, this is the way my mind thinks. My mind thinks, well, you know, we've got this student loan, or I don't know how I'm going to deal with this particular mortgage, or what's going to happen with this job, or what's going to happen with someone's diabetes or someone's cancer. And then I say, you know, well, let's pray to the Lord and let's talk to the Lord about that. And you don't see that often where someone had cancer and then doesn't have it. You see it occasionally, but not all that much. And often with your student loans, they don't just go right away, do they? You know, or that mortgage, it just doesn't disappear, you know. So you look at this and you say to yourself, well, how is it that Jesus helps us through that? And one of the things we must remember is Jesus gives us rest. Sometimes I'm afraid we begin to think of Jesus as the candy man or Santa Claus. He's just going around handing out presents. Well, you need this debt handled. Okay, there you go. You need this relationship taken care of. Okay, there you go. But often what Jesus does is he works with us and he helps us with whatever the particular issue is that we have. And he helps us and he gives us rest. And he may not fix it as we want him to fix it, but he's fixing it in our own lives, and he's giving us peace along the way. He may not fix it the way some of the TV preachers talk about, where you send them some money and they'll give you a handkerchief and all of your riches start coming that way. It doesn't really work that way, does it? But how does it work? You ever thought about the first part of this passage here? Matthew chapter 11, John the Baptist is in this prison, and John the Baptist sends a message. And have you ever noticed what John the Baptist said to Jesus? Look at that last part of verse 3. Are you the one who is to come? Jesus says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, John can't come because he's in the dungeon of a prison. That's like being in solitary confinement. He can't come to Jesus. So what does he do? He sends people to Jesus. And is that not what we do? We send a prayer to Jesus. We talk to Jesus. So that's what John the Baptist did. And John the Baptist says, basically, are you going to come to me, or are you the coming one, or do we seek another? And basically what he's saying is, I thought you were the Messiah, and I've been praying for you to solve this problem, and it's not seemingly getting solved here. If you keep reading this passage, you read that John didn't immediately get released from prison like some of these other people had these miracles in their lives. No, John stays in this prison, and John's actually going to die. He'll die there. The Lord Jesus didn't relieve him of that prison, but he did give him rest. And so sometimes we're going along in our lives and we're weighed down. You know, what are we going to do? Our spouse, we're trying to work things out with them. We're trying to get along with them. And we pray and they still abandon us, or they still go and do their own thing. Or we've got a particular disease and we pray and we ask God to heal us of it. And maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't handle it the way he did in some of these other gospels. Maybe he handles our situation the way he handled John the Baptist. He didn't take him out of prison, but he gave him rest. He gave him peace. And so the Lord says to you and I, he says, you bring your burdens to me. And it may not go the way you wanted it to go. Notice if you read Matthew 11 earlier, he says, you tell John the Baptist, blessed is he who's not offended by me. In other words, you didn't like the answer I gave you. Blessed, you know, but you accepted it and you embraced the peace I give you. And so for us, sometimes that's what we do. We accept the peace that he gives us. Verse 29, he says, or verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is the way my mind works. How? Jesus says, come to him. How do I come to Jesus? He's not in the Middle East today, right? So how do I come to him? How do I get to him? What is it that I do to make that happen? Well, this is where you come in if you're a believer. People cannot physically walk into a room and have a meeting physically with Jesus, but they can come and they can interact with you, who, if you're a Christian, and you have Jesus in you. The Bible says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. You were at war, you had a problem with God, but God has reconciled, you're reconciled to him, and he has now given you the ministry of reconciliation. So your job is, you know, there's these people that are mediators for the court, where your job is, if you're a Christian, is to be a mediator between people that don't know the Lord and help them find the Lord. You have a ministry of reconciliation. You say, well, I didn't sign up for that. It's not on my spiritual gifts chart. If you're a Christian, you signed up for it. That's what you do. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. When Christ came to this world and died for our sins, he reconciled the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, so he didn't count their debt against them. He said, I paid their debt for them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So you have the ministry of reconciliation, and you've got the message. So you've got to go and tell people, hey, you can submit to God, you can call God to God, and he will come to you. Therefore, so because you have the ministry of reconciliation and the message of reconciliation, we are ambassadors for Christ. You go to Israel, Tel Aviv, there's an embassy there. You go to Havana, Cuba now, there's an embassy for the United States of America. You can go inside that embassy and there are representatives of the U.S. government there. They represent our interest. And so you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You represent Christ to other people if you're a Christian this morning. And so the passage says, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So your job, if you're a Christian, is everywhere you go to do everything you can to try to help people to find the Lord. Are you doing that this morning? You know what people do when bad things happen? They look for people that are Christians. They look for people that say, hey, I know Jesus, and they look for them to help. A couple of years ago, there was a study of people who had lost their child in a violent death, homicide, suicide, or an accident. Usually it was homicide or suicide if you really looked at that. They'd lost their child in this violent death. You know what these people did? Well, 75% of them prayed. That's how they dealt with it. They didn't know how to pray, didn't know anything about prayer, but they just tried to pray. The next thing they did, they went to a church. They went to a church. And the third thing they did, and these are people from all kinds of backgrounds. They just had a homicide or a suicide or lost a child as a result of an accident. The next thing they did was, hey, as a family, they may have never done that before, but they started praying. People look to God when bad things happen in their lives. And so if you're here this morning, it's your job as a Christian to show them God. It's your job to be the person that helps them to find the Lord, to represent the Lord to them. Take your Bible and look back there at Matthew chapter 11 and scroll down, if you will, and look at verse 29. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. So what does Jesus say? You take my yoke. And so here's a picture someone's tried to draw to show this. In the old days, they had oxen instead of tractors, right? And so they would put a yoke, and they would yoke these two oxes together, and they would go along, and they would use them to plow a field or to move a tree that had been cut down or something like that. It was called a yoke. And so Jesus says, you take my yoke. You put my yoke upon you. And so many times people look and they think, well, Jesus is heavy. I couldn't live life like that. Or I couldn't go without this. Or I couldn't do without that. It is a yoke. It is something that is put upon us in our lives. But he says to us, understand that it is easy. It's a good way to live. The scripture says that the Pharisees had put a yoke upon people that was hard. Matthew chapter 23, Jesus says, you tie up heavy burdens. And so the Pharisees would say, you didn't do this. You didn't do that. You need to do this. You need to do that. And they would put heavier and heavier burdens upon people. Never satisfied. Never pleased. Jesus says, my yoke is easy. And so if you're a Christian, your role is to help people to learn about Him. Whatever your state would be, your role is to learn as much as you possibly can about the Lord Jesus Christ. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So Jesus says, I put my yoke upon you. And basically, as you go to work, I'm going along with you and I'm helping you. You've got the Holy Spirit within you, the Trinity, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's within you, and your boss says something to you, and he brings back a scripture. A soft answer turns away wrath. And so you're like, oh, okay. And that's how Jesus, you put on that yoke, and Jesus is going along, and he's helping you through. He says that yoke is easy. And so maybe in the past, you might have given the boss a piece of your mind, which you should have held on to, and instead, you're calm and you're cooler about it. And that's why Jesus is saying, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You're going through and you're having a hard time. You've lost someone that you love. Jesus is walking along that way. He's helping you with that, helping you on the anniversary, helping you through the birthdays of that person. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. His Holy Spirit is called the Comforter in some passages in the Bible. He comforts you and he helps you through that. Jesus is our example. Jesus says, I have given you an example. So he's shown us how to deal with people. He's shown us how to live. And he says that you should do as I have done to you. And if you follow Jesus, he will put his mind in you. Paul put it this way. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Let Jesus change your thoughts. So you used to sit around and think about, oh boy, what a terrible person such and such is. And instead, you think more like Jesus, who actually prayed for people on a cross, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. You have the mind of Christ. Now, it's not like, you know, sometimes you don't turn as quickly as you would think you should be. But the Lord is working within you, changing you, and making you more like Him. And Jesus is gentle. Jesus gets it. Jesus had to struggle. He had to go through this world where people mistreated Him, where people hurt Him. The first song that we sang was alluding to that, how Jesus knew mistreatment that came at the hands of others. And so you may lash out at others, and you're not going to do it perfect. You're going to fall short, but Jesus is there. Jesus is gentle, helping you along the way, and His yoke is easy. Do you know how much Jesus thinks about you? Do you know how special you are to Jesus? In Philippians chapter 2, and we've looked at a lot from Philippians 2 this morning, the Bible says that Jesus emptied Himself. What does that mean? It means He was in heaven where He had all of, He was the Son of God. It was perfect for Him. He emptied Himself. He walked away from heaven. He took the form of a servant. He was born in a manger. We just talked about that at Christmas time. He took the form of a servant, someone that should be served. He goes forth and serves others. The scripture says He was born in the likeness of men. He took on human form. He became a human. 100% human, same time 100% God. Just like you. You hit His hand, it hurt. Just like you, He went through difficulties. Being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves all these people we care about so much that He left heaven. He suffered when He did not have to suffer. But He suffered for you, He suffered for me, so we can have salvation if we put our faith in Him. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Now, I'm not saying you come to Jesus and He's going to make you a wealthy man or woman. It could happen, but it might not. I'm not saying He's going to make you have a lot of health. It'll probably be better, but it may not be what you're hoping for. But you'll have a life that'll be better than you could have ever imagined or thought. You'll have a burden that will be lifted from you. You'll have someone who is yoked together with you, walks along with you every step of the way, helping you along the way if you come to Jesus. So come to Jesus and let Him help you as you go through this life. Father, we thank You for this passage we've been able to look at this morning. We thank You for Your willingness, Lord, to come to You. Help us, Lord, to focus upon You, and help us, Lord, to humble ourselves and come to You. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I want you to stand to your feet this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never had a point in your life where you've come to Jesus. I want to encourage you to come to Him this morning. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. Tell Him that you recognize you need a Savior. Come to Him and follow Him. Become a believer in Him today. Oh, you'll not be a perfect person. We all fall short. We all sin every day. But you'll have someone that'll help you, that'll be with you, that'll walk with you as you go along the way. Maybe you're here this morning and you think about so many people in your lives that you want them to know Jesus. May you ask prayer for them today. Lord Jesus, help me to be the salt. Help me to be the light. Help me to be the example to those around me. Help me to love people so they'll see Jesus and they'll come to Him. You know what you need to pray. Why don't you pray it now there where you stand, or if you prefer, come to this altar and pray it here. Amen.